A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name, and I pray that he will bestow on you gifts in keeping with the riches of his glory. May he strengthen you inwardly through the working of his Spirit. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, and may charity be the root and foundation of your life. Thus you will be able to grasp fully, with all the holy ones, the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love, and experience this love which surpasses all knowledge, so that you may attain to the fullness of God himself. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. John's disciples and the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus with an objection. Why do John's disciples and those of the Pharisees fast, while yours do not? Jesus replied, how can the guests at a wedding fast as long as the groom is still among them? So long as the groom stays with them, they cannot fast. The day will come, however, when the groom will be taken away from them. On that day, they will fast. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he should do so, the very thing he has used to cover the hole would pull away, the new from the old, and the tear would get worse. Similarly, no man pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does so, the wine will burst the skins, and both wine and skins will be lost. No, new wine is poured into new skins. The Gospel of the Lord. I have chosen to read the proper readings from our Dominican lectionary for this memorial of our brother Raymond of Capua. I do this because one of these readings gives us the basis for the greatest accomplishment of his life, a life of leadership in the order of preachers during the 14th century. The other reading is, in my view, singularly inappropriate for the way in which he achieved this accomplishment. I will begin with the inappropriate reading, the one from the Gospel according to Mark. In this passage, Jesus firmly admonishes his followers against trying to mix the old and the new. Don't patch new cloth on an old garment. Don't put new wine into old wineskins. In a way, that is what Raymond did in his successful attempt to promote reform while maintaining the unity of the order. It was a time when reform was badly needed in the Dominican order and in the church at large. The order of preachers was about a century old. It had begun to experience the lack of fervor that has frequently occurred in religious orders once the first generation has passed away. But beyond this, Europe, with its monasteries, friaries, and convents, had been devastated by the bubonic plague. In an attempt to keep religious houses open and to continue their missions, many admitted new members who were seeking refuge rather than the opportunity to fulfill the original goals of the institution. There was a feeling, as there had been a century before with Dominic and Francis, that reform was needed. Reform often leads to division, however. Several centuries earlier, Bernard of Clairvaux wanted to reform monasteries following the rule of Saint Benedict and ended up founding a new order, the Cistercians. A later reform of the Cistercians led to another order, the Trappists. Reform among the Franciscans led to three different branches of that religious family. Among the Carmelites, reform brought about an independent order of discalced Carmelites. The Dominicans remained undivided by the winds of reform, and that was due to the organizational genius of Raymond of Capua. To achieve a reform that would eventually touch much of a still united order, Raymond did follow Jesus' advice and Mark's gospel to a certain extent. He allowed those who wanted to reform to live in certain priories, while those who did not, he let stay in others. Yet he maintained the structure of provincial and general chapters through which the two sides could communicate and influence each other. The spirit of that reform was much more that of our reading from Ephesians. There we are reminded that all gifts are from the Father. Reform is not something we can achieve for ourselves, nor is it for ourselves and those who think as we do. Reform is a gift, or perhaps better, calling, always present among God's people. The challenge is to keep the lines of communication open so that people can help each other. In this way, all may be led to a fuller experience of the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love, so that we may attain the fullness of God Himself.